on, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel and DraftKings. I am your host, Sean Kane, and we are coming at you with the Friday slate breakdown. It's going to be a good one. Definitely nice. You know, we had a nice slate here, nice six-gamer to get us warmed up, and we got a 10-gamer coming at you for Friday. So definitely in full swing, and of course, full swing over at patreon.com/lineuplogic. New patrons joining us. Absolutely thrilled to have some new names, new faces. Welcome to some guys who just jumped in today. Cortez, Steven, always good to have new guys on board. And really excited to see you guys in the Slack chat and all that kind of stuff. Appreciate you supporting the show. Of course, that is the best way to support the show. If you can't support the show by, you know, pledging there, write a review. Just write a review or retweet the show or something, you know, share it with a friend, you know. Pass the word along. Pass along the good word of the Lineup Logic gospel. Got Josh Fernandez on the line. We're going to go ahead and break down this player pool. But of course, before we get into that, we're going to go through Vegas. We'll talk through the injury news, the spreads, et cetera. Everything that you need to know from a game-by-game perspective to get you ready for this Friday slate. So let's not waste any time. Let's go ahead and jump in and see what Vegas has to say about everything. All right. Like I mentioned, 10 games. It all starts in Detroit. Boston at Detroit, 204 total here, and Boston only favored by one. Makes good sense to me. They were certainly struggling coming into the break, really, really playing pretty poorly. No doubt about it. That stretch run, you know, that they had, just not very, very good, relying heavily on Kyrie Irving's offense. We should see Marcus Smart back. That hand injury should be there. You know, my guess is that he'll displace Terry Rozier off the bench. They get a little bit more defense. Of course, they'll lose Terry Rozier's offense, who is really, really productive in nearly 25 to 30 minutes on a regular basis for them. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum still in their roles, but inconsistent with fantasy scoring. You're going to have to pick your spots with them against bad defense. There should be some good spots down the stretch to go after those guys. Still interested in Al Horford when we can find a good spot for him. Marcus Morris is going to probably start to see a lot more run here as we get going. He's a piece that they need to get going for that second unit scoring off the bench. And he was getting anywhere between 24 to 35 minutes right before the All-Star break. So Marcus Morris is a guy that, while he's still relatively inexpensive and slightly flying under the radar, I will try to keep my eye on there. But we'll have to keep an eye on how the Marcus Smart news affects things. I'm not really sure. You know, he's not a guy that I play very frequently unless it's a really good spot. So we'll see. On the Detroit side of things, you know, we have Reggie Jackson still out. Ish Smith, you know, Reggie Jackson was been out since Christmas with this ankle. No idea when he's coming back, if he's coming back. We're going to continue to see Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson play at the two and the three. We're going to see Anthony Tolliver off the bench for about 24 minutes a game. And we're going to continue to see Blake put up, you know, about a floor of 30 points on a regular basis. Andre Drummond continue to be productive as well. So definitely a team that we can target down the stretch because they are going to be targeting the playoffs. This team wants to make the playoffs. They're a win now program. And so we have a lot of interest in getting after some Detroit options in our lineups. Against Boston, not so much. Maybe some Drummond. He has had a lot of success in Boston. Just kind of a really, really, really good team to rebound against. And he can kind of own, you know, a really, really high number of rebounds. If we remember, he had a really big game there last year and had one big one as well this year, earlier this season. So that could be an interesting spot for sure. Moving over to Atlanta and Indiana are going head to head here. On the Atlanta side of things, interested to see what is going to happen with this team, but they're so bad already that we're probably not going to see too much change. My guess would be more Tyler Dorsey. He's one of the guys that they're going to be slating for developmental minutes. I think we will see more Tyler Dorsey. I think we will see more John Collins. Those two guys should start to get over the 25-minute mark on a regular basis as they start to get towards development. So those are going to be interesting names to keep an eye on. But that's really all you're doing with Atlanta is you're targeting really good spots with this team and possibly some value plays. As for the Indiana side, this is going to be a team similar to Detroit that has playoff interest. So I think we are going to continue to see viable options on this roster. Corey Joseph is going to continue to be the point guard and finally came to life in that Brooklyn game, played phenomenally well right before the All-Star break, put up 42 fantasy points. It's not a number I'm going to necessarily expect from him, but it's nice to see him show some offense after he was basically night of the living dead as far as offensive contribution goes. The rest of this team, we understand it's Thaddeus Young for consistent 6K type returns. He's been really strong. Miles Turner is an anomaly. I don't really know what to do with him. Sometimes he's great. Sometimes he's terrible. Domantas Sabonis is the guy when people are injured. And Boyan continues to be Boyan. You can probably play Boyan on a regular basis. He's been shooting phenomenally well, but you can continue to play Boyan on a regular basis when he's under 5K or under 5'5 and expect a decent return, solid 20-point floor. So we're going to continue to treat Indiana the way we were earlier. Not scared of them necessarily, not thrilled about them either. Charlotte at Washington, both of these teams in action tonight. They will travel for the back-to-back. Washington, I believe, is in Cleveland, and they will travel back to Washington. Charlotte is at home, and they will travel up to Washington. 212 total here. The Wiz are favored by 3. I will keep an eye on what is going on with Charlotte. From what we can tell, it doesn't seem like they're changing anything. Dwight had a really big first half for them, so not a ton to learn from the first half of this Brooklyn game necessarily. On a back-to-back, we might see some things that are slightly different. Washington, we know their deal. They're going to continue to push, try to make the playoffs, and so we're going to continue to roster these guys. Off the back-to-back against Cleveland, this could be a letdown spot. They've had some letdowns against Charlotte in the past, but I don't mind this game, especially with a decent total. 212 is a decent total for this slate. There's not a ton of huge numbers on this slate. The Clippers Phoenix game is pretty big. The Dallas and the Lakers game. And then the Minnesota-Houston game, but then everything else kind of falls off a ledge. So 212 is not a bad number to target at all on this slate. So a moderate total here for some of these Washington pieces doesn't really scare me. They're back at home. They should still have fresh legs. Milwaukee at Toronto. This is a 215 total. I like this game a lot. Toronto is favored by 8, which is just bananas. And I guess it's just the way that Toronto has played against Milwaukee this year. We've seen them beat them twice. They're so good at home. So very good at home. On the Milwaukee side of things, the injuries that we were concerned about before the break, John Henson, Jabari Parker in and out of the lineup, and Malcolm Brogdon, we'll keep an eye on those that information for tomorrow. My guess is that most of those guys will be back in action. We'll start to see more of a return to normal as far as this rotation goes. You'll probably see Sterling Brown go to the bench, fewer minutes for Tony Snell, and fewer minutes for Thon McKeer, by the way. Jabari Parker hasn't broken 20 minutes yet, but has been efficient with the minutes that he's gotten. So we're going to take it slow with him. We're going to take it slow with him, no doubt about it. That's kind of all I have there. Tyler Zeller is a surprise that we have to continue to pay attention to. He's been great. I mean, he's been 20 minutes or more in 3 of his last game, and he's been over 18 fantasy points in each one of those. So when he is a really, really cheap option on a small slate, I don't know necessarily how much I like him against Toronto, but he is someone that you're going to want to keep your eye on down the stretch as a potential value play. On the Toronto side of things, business as usual. I mean, these guys are unbelievable right now. You know, Kyle Lowry put up 46 right before the break against Chicago in just 26 minutes. The efficiency is off the charts for him. Right now, DeMar DeRozan is more inconsistent than him. And you're going to get good bench returns at times from, you know, some of the big guys. In fact, you know, what I'm most interested, I think, in this Toronto is trying to take advantage of Jonas Valanciunas and Serge Ibaka when they're in good spots, because this team's strategically, I think, try to attack weaknesses on other teams. A guy like Pascal Siakam put up some big numbers right before the break, too. So those are kind of the trends that I'm keeping an eye on for Toronto. No serious injuries that we need to be worried about. OG Anunoby sat out with an ankle, but I guess I'm guessing he will be back because he almost played in that last game before the break. Miami at New Orleans. This is a 214 total. Decent number for these two teams. New Orleans is favored by 3 at home. This is an interesting game. You know, New Orleans got it going a little bit before the break. Nico just is providing the spark that they need. Drew Holiday is smashing. And they just have some real serious offensive talent. They really do. I mean, they just have three really pure scorers in Drew Holiday and Nico Mirotic and Anthony Davis. And those three guys can really get it done. And they showed what they could do in that Laker game. Miami is going to be a challenge, no doubt about it. You know, Miami is definitely going to be a challenge, but we'll see them kind of slow down out of the gate here. I think if they can win this game, though, it probably is a big confidence boost. Miami's a tough team on the road. Definitely one that they're going to want, and a team that we're going to want to, you know, invest in, because they're going to be playing these guys a lot of minutes. Now, the Miami, same here. We're going to be perfectly comfortable with Miami. Miami's had some interesting rotations. Josh Richardson has kind of been playing at the 2/3 with Tyler Johnson there as well. And I don't know how this is possible, but Wayne Ellington continues to get 30 minutes. It's like there's magically 30 minutes for almost everybody on this team. Justice Winslow over 20 minutes. You know, and even Dwayne Wade now getting, you know, nearly 25 minutes a night. So it feels like James Johnson is one of the victims here. He's not going to get as much run, but without Kelly Olynyk in the lineup, that hurt them earlier. My guess is that we will not see Kelly Olynyk for a little while. It seemed like that shoulder injury was worse than they thought. He was going to try to go, but they're a little bit concerned about it. In his stead, it's been Bam Bam Adebayo with some really good performances and then some inconsistent spots. So Adebayo is a guy that matchup dependent. I think he's going to be matchup dependent for me. When Whiteside maybe doesn't show up where he gets a little bit of extra run, it's hard to project when he's going to get those minutes. This is an interesting spot, though. This game, I try to stay away from Miami, but I think that New Orleans can put a lot of offensive pressure on the Heat and maybe make this game a little bit higher scoring than we're used to seeing. So should be a good spot to go to guys like Goran Dragic and Josh Richardson. Cleveland at Memphis, a 212 total. Cleveland will be off the back-to-back. They are going to go on the road to Memphis tonight after their game in Cleveland. You know, and we talked a little bit about what Cleveland's rotation is. It's LeBron for 30. It's JR for 30. It's everybody else for 24. That's it. So, you know, it's going to be matchup dependent. On the Memphis side of things, you know, I just have despised this team. The way that they've run this season has been an absolute disaster. You're going to see a lot of good numbers. A lot of good run for some of the young guys. You know, Andrew Harrison continue to be developed in this system. Dylan Brooks. Tyreke Evans, I guess they're going to play him because they think they're going to bring him back. I have no idea. You know, we're going to continue to try and target some of the young guys. James Ennis out of the lineup, my guess would be just mean that they're going to go ahead and give all those minutes at the three to Dylan Brooks and let him go through this season, and Jarrell Martin, and let those two guys play the three and the four, and let them really get some good development in. But I don't know. I mean, they didn't trade Tyreek Evans, and they're going to try to re-sign him, and Gasol and Conley, even though they're always hurt. I don't know what this team's doing. Moving over to the biggest total of the night is in Houston, Minnesota at Houston. This should be a fun one. We just saw it before the break. It was really good until James Harden absolutely exploded in the fourth quarter and just took over. Just absolutely took over. The Rockets are just so consistently dangerous that you may not get everything that you want from the guys that you expect. Trevor Ariza should be back in this lineup, and that's going to even make it more difficult with the addition of Joe Johnson now, too. It's going to be really hard to understand where you're going to get more than 24 minutes for PJ Tucker, Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza, Luke Mbamute, and even Gerald Green. Like, I don't know how do they fit all of these, and Joe Johnson. You have like six guys who kind of all play the same position. So my guess is that they're just going to, whittle everybody's minutes down and try to make it a little bit easier on this team as they start to prepare for a playoff run. But that's not really D'Antoni's style. He'll play his guys 30 minutes. So he plays his horses. Obviously a great spot for Harden. It'd be a good spot to go back to Chris Paul as well. He disappointed in that game. He didn't shoot particularly well, and Harden took over the offense. So that's going to be the balancing act, right? Trying to figure out when it's a good time to go to Paul and when it's a time to go to good time to go to Harden. And your guess is going to be as good as mine. You're going to, it's kind of a toss up because in back games with a good backcourt advantage, you're going to want both. And it's going to be hard to decipher who's going to have the more likely ceiling game. On the Minnesota side of things, Jimmy and Kat seem to be taking over the offense, which is great. Jimmy and Kat seem to be the guys that we want to go to consistently, which means I'm going to stay away from Wiggins for the foreseeable future. He's kind of taken a back seat. And I just don't really love his game right now, especially with the way Jeff Teague is playing as well. So all that adds up to, I'm going to stick with everybody that, I feel comfortable with and stay away from Andrew Wiggins for the foreseeable future. That's all it is right now with my Wolves takes. San Antonio at Denver, 209 total. We are not going to see Kawhi probably for the rest of the season. That's really sad because a whole lost season for an amazing talent like Kawhi Leonard at that age is phenomenal bummer. But I hope he gets back and gets healthy. That quad injury is a pain. It's a pain in the ass, and I don't know how to fix it. I'm not sure. I don't know how they fix it. Apparently it's just a rest thing. So no Kawhi, but we should see Rudy Gay back in some minutes. Which my guess with that would just be Kyle Anderson and Rudy Gay splitting the three at the small forward position, probably push guys like Bryn Forbes and Brandon Paul more out of the lineup a little bit. Deontay Murray and, Patty Mills and Tony Parker, Murray's going to get close to 28. Those two guys are going to float around 18 to 21 minutes, depending on the night. LaMarcus is the guy that we want to continue to go to, especially after this nice stretch of rest. He sat out a couple games before the break. He got some good rest over the break. So I think we're going to go right back to LaMarcus getting 34, 35 minutes, which is going to be great. So going to continue to be interested in him. On the Denver side of things, I don't know where Gary Harris disappeared to for that week before the All-Star break, but he seemed to really want to take it out on me because I kept going back to him expecting him to bounce back. He's been disappointing. Jokic has not been disappointing. He seems to be really rounding into form. Something in this offense is clicking for him, so hopefully that continues. Wilson Chandler, similarly. I guess they just told him, you better start scoring. And so he has. He took more shots in the last couple weeks than he's taken all season. They just, you know, I guess they just gave him the green light and they told him to start shooting again. So that's a good thing. He's a guy that we'll continue to keep our eye on there. Portland at Utah, 206 total here. Utah favored by 4 in this one. You know, Utah is still looking to keep this hot streak going, and I hope they do. I love this team. I really, really, really like this team. Rubio practiced. He had a hip. He should be back. You know, not necessarily worried about him. Royce O'Neal is going to be part of the rotation because you have no Joe Johnson. You have, you know, no Rodney Hood. Those minutes are probably going to get absorbed by Royce O'Neal, who has been effective. And even with Rubio out of the lineup, I still think you're going to see 25 minutes for Royce O'Neal at the three, more or less. I think he's played himself into this lineup with a relative amount of consistency behind Joe Ingles and, you know, filling in for, you know, we forget Tabo Sefolosha went down too. There's 15 minutes right there. So 15 minutes from Joe Johnson, Tabo Sefolosha, 25 minutes maybe from Rodney Hood. There's minutes in this lineup for Jay Crowder and Royce O'Neal. So those two guys are guys that we're going to watch the trend, see how they shape out, what their rotation minutes look like, and we'll figure out where they're going to be, whether it's at the, you know, somewhere on the wing, the two or the three, whatever, you know. Well, obviously, sorry, Jay Crowder's not going to run the two, but we know that Utah are going to run some positionless wing types things. So something that we can keep an eye on the Portland side of things. No serious injuries that we are worried about, but you're always thinking about the rotations there and whether or not, you know, the guys that you hope are going to get minutes are going to get minutes. Nurkic played in that game. I did not think he was going to play, and he played, and he played very well. He showed up. When he's engaged and this team is making a playoff run, hopefully he will, you know, continue to play well. Afric Aminu, Josh called that, had a great game against Golden State. You know, there's a lot of guys in this lineup that we can continue to like on paper, but you have to know that they're going to get the minutes. You do. That's just the way it is. Of course, Dame and CJ will always get the minutes, and they have been phenomenal. So we'll continue to go back to them. I don't know about Utah, but we'll go back to them. The Clippers at the Suns. The Clippers are a team that I'm interested to see how they play tonight. They are, you know, flirting with that 8 seed. They're going to try to make the playoffs, but, you know, they've been very clear about this. They're going to try to make the playoffs. We'll know more about their minutes tonight. Avery Bradley was ruled out today. I guess he would not play. Tyrone Wallace started at the two guard. So be interesting if Wallace gets back in there. We know, I mean, he was a pretty serviceable rotation guy while, you know, they had all those injuries to Austin Rivers and everybody there. So we'll see if he starts, if he plays well, and if Avery Bradley does not play on Friday. Mike, it's a groin. If it's a soft tissue issue, I don't know. You know, I'm not really sure. I wouldn't go if I was him. I would give it another day of rest. But who knows? Phoenix, you know, I mean, this team's terrible, but Devin Booker's back, which is really nice. You got to love that. He got one more game in before the break, 36 minutes, 36 points against Utah. It's going to be great to play him and Elf down the stretch. Elf has been an amazing player as a Sun. And you know what, frankly, it's kind of a good fit. There's pace there. There's not a lot of expectations. You know, they're not looking for massive efficiency from him. He can make passes. He has some decent shooters and obviously in Booker and Warren and Josh Jackson. So I think you're going to see a pretty solid core out there with TJ Warren, Josh Jackson, Devin Booker and Elf getting, you know, good minutes. Dragan Bender continues to play plenty. I don't think Marquese Chriss is going to be a part of this team's plans for the future. I just don't think he's shown the effort or the intent. And I think they'll probably start to move towards Bender and Len, who seem a little bit more interested in contributing. But that would be my guess of what we're going to see those primary minutes going to. And I'm going to continue to go back to these guys because they play with a lot of pace and some high total games. We had a 224 total here in this one against the Clippers. No problem with going to a couple Suns in this situation, even though they're bad. Dallas at LA at the Lakers here. We saw this game right before the break, and you know, Dallas, we apparently they're tanking, but they're gonna you know, it's going to be a costly tank. It's going to $600,000 off the bat, that fine for Mark Cuban. It's going to be the same guys. We're going to continue to see the same rotation. This team's not good. You know, I don't know how they make it worse necessarily, unless they peel back Dirk's minutes and they peel back Harrison Barnes' minutes and they kind of calm that whole thing down. They said that they want to get, you know, they're going to probably try to get Doug McDermott involved. They're going to get, you know, this Kyle Collinsworth character involved consistently. I'm not sure. I don't know what the tank looks like because the minutes have been in a lot of places, but we'll know. We'll know more. But this is a fun matchup for them. I like the Lakers game. You know, and on the Lakers side, it's going to be business as usual. We see a lot of minutes. We've seen a lot of minutes for Nance. We've seen a lot of minutes for Kuzma lately. We've seen a lot of minutes for Randall lately. And those guys have taken advantage of those. So those are guys that were very, very fantasy viable. I prefer them to Brandon Ingram personally. Josh Hart has not dropped below 30 minutes recently as well. So he's a guy that we can go to. KCP is a guy that we can go to. But I would be surprised if they stick with KCP. I think KCP only has like 1 year left on this deal, right? I mean, you don't think they re-sign him. I think it's an expiring deal. So you're going to see that. I'll be interested to see what Lonzo's story is. He's questionable. How hurt is this knee, or are they just really being careful with him? I'm not really sure. But it'll be nice when he comes back. I mean, he was playing really well before he went down. So that one's a 224 total. Lakers are favored by 3, which says a lot about how bad Dallas is. All right, that is it for me and the Vegas breakdown. Let's go over to the player breakdown, bring Josh Fernandez on, and we will figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, Friday slate, 10-gamer. Josh, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, my God. Sean, it's back. We're back. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm Dante Cunningham. Everybody was all over Dante Cunningham chalk night. Unbelievable.
What is he doing?
He went for 22 and 12, fucking scored 45 points against the Hornets.
What?
Yeah. And they gave him up for almost nothing, the New Orleans Pelicans did. Apparently this kid can play. So he's got a new home in Brooklyn. But this Bulls 76ers game is going to be unbelievably high scoring. It's 74 points going into, they have 74 points going into the third quarter. So a lot of goodness there to be had. So it's a good night to get started. You know, it's a good night to get us going here, back into DFS. It's been a lot of fun. But 10 games tomorrow night should be a good one as well. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, Sean, we have 11 games.
11?
11.
Dude, I honestly, you could keep track of how many times you could easily keep track of how many times I say the wrong number of games on this slate. Like, so frequently I say the wrong number of games.
How often, like, do you have an 11 gamer though? You know?
No, I know, but it's always like 8-game slate. And it's like, no, Sean, it's a 7-game slate. You have 9-game slate. Nope. It's only 6. Fuck.
Friday, February 23rd, 432 games, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. It should be a good one. So let's get in here. We're going to start at the top. Of course, we're going to offer you guys a couple options up in the above 9K range. Then we'll go down and we'll offer you some grout ideas. We'll try to throw together a quick lineup as well. But at the point guard position, you know, this is a guy that I want to get him right, because the price is such that we're going to have opportunities to get him right. And I think this could be one of them. Chris Paul versus Minnesota. He's averaged 42 on the season. He's 8,900 on FanDuel tomorrow night. We've seen a really wide range of outcomes for him, and against Minnesota, the point guard position specifically. So you have kind of a volatile DVP situation, but you also have a volatile player. Paul has had anywhere between 27 and 55 point outings in his last 5. The key to for him is just raw points. If he gets himself to 20 raw points, he's going to score over 40 fantasy points. It's been a consistent trend. You look through the game logs, you determine when it is that he scored. It's just raw scoring. The peripherals are going to be the same. It's all about raw points. And, you know, last time when they played Minnesota, we saw Harden take over the fourth quarter and put up, you know, 20 plus shots. And Paul didn't really have to do that much scoring. But in certain situations, when he does do the scoring, he has, you know, 55 point upside. So at a price point like 8,900, you really, really like the potential upside that a guy like Chris Paul offers in the highest total of the night. 226 total there with this Houston Minnesota game. Jeff Teague's defense has been meh. You know, he's given up some big numbers to some really bad point guards, but he's also, you know, held a couple guys in check. So I like the spot. I'm not going to force it into my lineup, but I'll take it, I think, if I can find the money to get there. Does that seem right?
Yeah, no, definitely it does. I agree with your meh assessment of Jeff Teague's defense. You know, if you're the T-Wolves, you'd definitely rather see Tyus Jones. You know, he's much more of a defender, you know, than Teague is. Obviously, Teague, you know, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. But, you know, if you look at the game logs, you know, recently, I mean, nothing really that stands out to you. I mean, Jerry and Grant had a big game against them.
Right.
But, you know, just a bunch of like really solid outings. And, you know, CP3 just came off a 37 pointer, you know, as they neared the end of the, I don't want to say first half. Would you call it the first half or the?
It's really the first two thirds.
First two thirds, you know, he had a 37 point outing, but I think he's going to far exceed that, you know, now that the legs are fresh and they've rested. And I like it, man, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, but you know, it's actually a lot easier to talk yourself, I think, into James Harden in this spot. So go ahead and talk me through James Harden on this slate.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go ahead and talk you through James Harden, but I'm going to kind of double dip here with Oladipo as well.
Yeah,
you know, and Harden, I like on one hand you have him who's just an absolute stud, and you know the problem with him is that his salary, like a lot of these high price guys, it does often result in him not returning value. I know a lot of people, you know, I find myself included, falling into this mind trap of, you know, getting caught up with the 5X value kind of gold standard. You know, got to get 5X value, got to get 5X value. But for him, 5X value is, you know, pushing 60 points. You know, him not returning value means he's going to be scoring in the 40s. It sucks when you roster him and he gets in the 40s. You know, it kind of stings a bit because you know that, you know, you're leaving his so-called value on the table. But, you know, 45 points, let's call it, is definitely a palatable score. I mean, you're not.
That's his floor. Right, exactly. I mean, 45-point floor, you got to take that and see it as it is, which is not a number that will kill you necessarily. And I don't necessarily know that you're scared off of it. And this is a really high total. I don't think 45 seems, you know, low for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. I agree. You know, and on paper, you know, I'm looking at monster trends and it's telling me that, you know, it's a rough matchup on paper in the sense of, the T-Wolves limiting big game production to shooting guards. You know, that said, you know, I mean, I feel like we say this every week, and I'm sure you say it all the time, you know, throughout the week when we talk about James Harden, is the guy's matchup proof. You know, just like there are certain hitters in baseball and certain, you know, wide receivers, quarterbacks in football. I mean, certain guys, you just kind of, you know, 90% of the time, just throw the matchup out the window and just focus on the fact that you're talking James Harden here. So I'm not going to fall over myself to roster him, but, you know, I mean, the simple fact is that he is largely matchup proof. And yeah, the total is great. But on the other hand, you got Depot, and I love his matchup with Atlanta. And looking at monster trends, we do have kind of a negative perception here of the shooting guard matchup against Atlanta. Atlanta's, you know, surprisingly limited shooting guards, you know, in the big game department. But, you know, I've said this many times on the pod is I feel like it's smart to look at the positions that bookend your position that you're focusing on. And, you know, in our case, we're looking at point guard and small forward, you know, as the bookends to shooting guard. And Atlanta just gets crushed by point guards and small forwards. They've been getting crushed by them all year. And nobody is really worried about like Corey Joseph taking production away from Oladipo. You know, there's always the possibility that like Lance Stevenson or Boyan can step up and, you know, take some scoring away from him. But at the end of the day, I mean, Depo is just an absolute stud, usage stud, minute stud. He's a baller. And I think that that trickle down effect, we love trickle down economics. Sorry.
Oh my God.
No, that's it. In all seriousness, I do.
Fuck you, Ronald Reagan.
That the Reaganomics apply to
the DFS.
Yes, I think it does apply here, and it truly does. You know, I think that, you know, if you get locked in on like, oh, they're good against shooting guards, so it's automatically going to happen, or they're bad against shooting guards, so my theory is automatically going to happen. It doesn't happen that way. Like, you look at the unit, like, are they good against guards? Are they good against wings, et cetera? And Atlanta is not good against guards or not good against wings. He's the monster on that team. I think that coupled with the $1,400 savings versus, you know, looking at Harden, and, you know, it's weird. The Victor Oladipo, every time we see 10K salary, 9,500, it's weird. But look, the guy is just killing it lately. He's their stud. And I like the matchup. So I am swayed because of that to him over James Harden.
Yeah, I think that that makes sense. He's a pivot too. He'll probably go slightly under-owned. I will say one of the things that I'm looking at a lot right now is just how guys have performed in the like a lot of rest split this season. Depot with 3 days rest. He hasn't actually had a lot of games in that split. But he did have one game where he had 5 days rest, and he scored 35 points in that game, and had 10 rebounds. So fresh legs for Victor Oladipo, I think, are probably a good thing. Actually, you know what the greatest indicator is of success in this split above 3 days of rest? He's shooting over 50% from the field, which means he's getting to the rim on those in those games, which you like to see. Fresh legs obviously allow you to get to the rim. Now, the one thing I will say is that James Harden has a 115 offensive rating when he is coming off of rest. So 33% usage. So there's definitely some good rest splits for both guys, an argument to be made in both directions. But I think,
and, you know, and like you said real quick, and just like you said real quick, is like, you know, this is not the second half. This is the second third of the season. You know, we only got 20 something games left.
Yep,
what is it? Right. 24 games left, you know, and teams like the Pacers who are in the thick of things, they don't have time to mess around.
No,
you know, they got to get right for the playoffs. And the way they get right is to get used to Oladipo being the man. And this is a game where he's going to be the man.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I like his fresh legs. I think it allows him to push the pace and get to the rim, which should help just the raw scoring.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's talk about a little the small forward position, because there's two guys that you want to like, but I don't necessarily know how much I do like them. LeBron is coming off the back-to-back, and he'll go play Memphis. And he is 11-3, and Giannis is going to go over to Toronto. He is 10-8. Now, Giannis's price is really appealing. It's a really nice price for him. But there's two things, you know, there's kind of meh situations to both of these guys. You know, you like the fact that they have relatively fresh legs, but in the LeBron situation, the pace really bothers me. It's a relatively low total. He's coming off a back-to-back. He's going to be on the road. The Grizzlies are bad, and they play a really, really slow pace. This feels like a game where LeBron will be able to be consistent, execute, and so long as this team is making shots, they should be able to control the game from start to finish. Memphis, in general, just does not allow a lot of FanDuel points above average. it's not really a plus matchup because of that. Good interior defense. They protect the rim. They're not a good team or a good defense necessarily, but they do protect the rim pretty well. They do rebound really well, and they play a really slow pace. I will say we have seen some pretty good performances from a couple guys recently. So there is an argument to say LeBron has a really solid floor against a bad team. It doesn't matter that they're slow, low pace. You know, Paul George just had 56 against them. Bojan Bogdanovic had 36 right before the break. So, you know, this team is not necessarily good, but, you know, will this be a good opportunity to get LeBron a little bit of rest? Does he go for 30 minutes and maybe get you 45, 50? I don't know. You could be overthinking it, but it's not a spot that I'm rushing to roster. I think if I had to compare two 11K players on the slate, I might go to Harden over LeBron, just because of the total and how competitive Minnesota can be versus Memphis. And the pace of that game should be a lot more. There should be just a lot more opportunity. Giannis is similar. Toronto really has his number this year. He has not broken 50. In fact, he hasn't broken 45 against them. They've played phenomenal defense on the wing this year at the three and the four. Ananobi and Ibaka have been really good. They're two spots on this team that you simply don't try to attack. It's the two that you want to attack on this team. And so Giannis really has not been able to get it done in this situation against Toronto in two previous games. Toronto has been phenomenal at home this year as well. So even though Giannis's price is just absolutely awesome, you worry a little bit. The one thing I will say is I looked into Giannis with fresh legs. He came into the season, so this is an insane stretch. Right into the beginning of the year, when I guess you have to think he has his freshest legs that, you know, as possible. Maybe now he also is, you know, the next best situation after almost a week of rest. He went five straight games at the beginning of the season with over 60 fantasy points. Mm. Mm. You see a guy who's this athletic, who's this explosive with a new coach. By the way, they have not played Toronto under Prunty. So you could see them try to match the pace a little bit. You could see a different approach as far as Toronto goes, because, you know, they're going to need to figure out Toronto because they could see them in the playoffs. He's averaged 53 fantasy points with more than 4 days of rest. That's a really nice trend. So if you want to be different, I think Giannis is an easy way to be different. You get a lot of skepticism from the previous matchups, but you have fresh legs. You have a competitive game. I think Giannis could definitely show up in this one for the price. So he is an interesting tournament pivot for me. I don't know though, Josh. I mean, would you? What do you think about these guys?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I love Giannis. I love this matchup. You know, it's going to definitely be a competitive game. You got the one and the six seed playing, and, you know, Toronto and Milwaukee respectively. You know, that, that range of, you know, Cleveland down to, you know, I guess like Miami, maybe Detroit, you know, that's, they're all jockeying for position there. And, you know, this is a time of year where, you know, every game matters. I really like the nature of this game. And I completely agree with your assessment of the Cleveland and Memphis game. You know, Memphis is not a good basketball team. And, there is a lot to be said about the idea that Cleveland might like to see how their new pieces coexist, you know, in different combinations, different units. I could see LeBron, you know, I mean, he's due to, you know, kind of just sit back and let, you know, the new guys kind of go to work.
Right.
You know, they can afford to, you know, experiment a little bit here. I mean, they, like I said, they are kind of like in the thick of things with a bunch of teams, but, you know, they're sitting comfortably in the three seed, you know, and I just think that this is a game where they can kind of experiment and, you know, see what's doing. I don't think they need LeBron in this game to play 38 minutes. So I,
right. That's what I'm thinking. Like a 31 minute outing for LeBron isn't really what you want on an 11 game slate. Like
you
can't play 31 minute LeBron in a slow, low total. You know, as safe as he has been, there's a lot of risk there. And I don't know. I think that there's some merit to going to your guy LMA here, going on the road to Denver. He is a guy who got a ton of rest. He got a couple games off before the All-Star break, and then he got the All-Star break. So Pop managed to get him almost like 10 full days, almost close to 2 weeks. So LMA is an interesting spot
here. Yeah, for sure. I think that there might be some, you know, what I think unfounded concerns about his health. I think it's what, you know, what you just said, Sean. I mean, it was a rest type of thing. It was just a really good opportunity to get your stud, your centerpiece of your team, you know, some extended rest. I mean, he really got to just like get fresh. And I think that's huge for the stretch run for the Spurs. And I just don't have any concerns about his health. And I really hope that the general DFS public, you know, believes that there is like a question mark with him. I don't know. I could be wrong there, and he could be, you know, owned at a healthy rate. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy, but, you know, it's possible that he goes, you know, single digit ownership just by the simple fact that people are like, I don't know about Popovich and the Spurs and LMA and da 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 da. But I think this is a great matchup for him. And I'm kind of looking at the same logic I used, you know, matchup wise that I used with Depot versus Harden. You know, Blake Griffin, he's obviously right there salary wise with LMA. Blake is, you know, typically a sexier play, you know, name wise, Blake Griffin versus LaMarcus Aldridge, similar to like Harden versus Depot. But again, with the bookends, you know, like we don't really love the power forward matchup with Denver, you know, on paper. But when we look at center and small forward, those two positions really have been crushing the Nuggets. And again, like I think that there is a trickle to Aldridge, you know, and the fact that he's, you know, playing in that, you know, that area, you know, as a forward, as a center, you know, he moves up to the five when Powell, you know, gets rest. You know, he's a primary scorer on that team. So, you know, I think that just the fact that those positions, you know, the front court, you know, really seems to dominate Denver these days. I think that that's, you know, bodes well for him. I'm kind of, you know, harping on these standings situations. And I know that, you know, we've still got quite a bit of time to go. But, you know, if you look at the standings, like, I don't know how often we all DFSers look at the standings, but they matter, guys. Like, they matter. They truly do. Yeah. And at this time of year, like, you look at the West, the 3-10 seeds, there's a 4.5 game gap between San Antonio at the 3 and Utah at the 10. 4.5 games. So there's no time to dick around for the Spurs anymore. Like, I know that there's media reports. It could be, you know, like, a little questionable, but there's people saying that it's like a lost season for San Antonio. I mean, I guess I could see that, you know, from an angle, but look, they're the number 3 seed. Like,
yeah.
You know, they're not like, it's not over, you know?
Yeah, season for San Antonio is like one of the best seasons that a lot of these Western Conference teams have had in a number of years. So,
right. So if they're going to get going here and they're going to, you know, push forward and, you know, hold on to their grip on the standings, like it's going to be on Aldridge's back.
And yeah, and I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, this has been a great season for Aldridge. As much as it's sad to know that Kawhi isn't going to play, and that seems to be the storyline, I don't know how you don't love the bounce back as far as the numbers go and the dominance of LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, throwing like just one of his better years as a Spur out there. So I love Aldridge. I love Aldridge. Anytime he is below 9K, I'm going to consider him. And there he is. Boom. 8-9 on FanDuel. So a guy that, or 8-7, definitely a guy that I would consider a power forward. You know, it's always a position that I like a degree of safety, and he's a guy that, you know, you can pay for some safety. Now at the center spot, you have Anthony Davis versus Miami. And I'm not going to say that that's a bad matchup. That's a good situation. Miami, you know, defensively is a good team. He's on the road, which you don't love, but when you got a big guy coming off of that much rest, it's definitely something that you want to consider, especially that Miami struggles in the front court, relatively speaking. Miami struggles. They don't struggle a lot, but compared to their defense, the quality of their defense at other positions, the center is one spot that is slightly weaker than some of their others. You know, Miami is a very good team defense, so it's not necessarily a perfect situation. And the pace and the total are a little bit low, and you don't love him on the road, but it's still Anthony Davis. So there is a good argument to be made for Davis and the way that he's playing right now. I don't think you're going to see the 75 points that he put up against the Lakers, but I do think you could see a nice 45-point floor from him in this situation. But for bang for your buck, Karl Anthony Towns might be the one that you really got to get going. 9,700 versus Houston. We knew he was going to be capable of this. We talked him up on the cheat sheet against Houston. He's had 64 and 66 respectively against that team. He's shown a very solid floor above 30, but he's pushed well above 45 in three of the last five games. I really think this offense is shifting towards Jimmy and Kat to be the primary creators. Down the stretch, that's my hope. Those two guys, you know, are guys that I absolutely love watching work. And so I wouldn't be surprised if you see another good performance from Karl Anthony Towns here against Houston, the highest total of the night. He just benefits from the fact that, you know, the Rockets choose not to defend the rim very well, and that there's a lot of space in the middle. So he's capable of keeping up with this team. He's proved it. He did it last season. He's done it twice this year. So you know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I could see a lot of people looking at Andre Drummond because he's had very similar big games against Boston. But man, I Cat right now, the way he's playing against this Houston team, I have a hard time going away from him.
Yeah, I agree. I love, you know, I mean, obviously the recent history, you know, with those massive performances he's had against Houston, you know, that's key. But just the game itself, I mean, this is a statement game for Minnesota. You know, I mean, believe it or not, you know, I don't know, again, like how many of us are looking at the standings, but they're the 4 seed in the West. That's crazy. You know, Minnesota is a hell of a team. And, you know, I think you're right. You know, I think that it's all about Kat and Jimmy. And Houston's riding a 10-game winning streak. And what better way to start this home stretch of the season than to, you know, give Houston an L, you know, to start it off, you know, and end that 10-game winning streak.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I would love to see Minnesota hang in the mix here and stick that 4 seed. Let's talk a little bit about some grout plays here. We're going to go down below the 9K range. I'm going to go back to Dejounte Murray. I mean, you know, he was the guy that we were interested in right before the break. I'm going to go right back to him here. He's got Denver again. He has played phenomenally well against Denver this year. Twice he's gone for over a fantasy point per minute. He scored over 30 points in two matchups, both times playing less than 30 minutes. He had 32 last time out right before the break in just 27 minutes. Multiple steals. And this is one of the things that Murray brings to the table that I think is really unique. When you have him in a situation where he's going to be able to create turnovers and he seems to have, you know, Jamal Murray's number or whatever the case may be, he can get you 4 steals. He's one of those rare point guards that's capable of doing that. And you have built-in upside for a guy like Dejounte Murray. And you know what? He's just not that expensive. He's 6,200. That's a pretty good price. You know, you're looking at, you know, bench guys, inconsistent guys in that range, and you have a guy who's on the Spurs in a plus match with a very clear role who's had a proven history against Denver. I don't think you really have to be that worried about it. I like that spot. I also really like your guy, though, and this That might be my pair. I'm not going to lie. Like Dragić and Murray, these two guys are two of my favorites. I think I like this combination.
Yeah. I definitely like Murray. I agree. You know, I like that he's kind of grabbing on and to this role and moving forward as like one of the top guys on the Spurs, and rightfully so. But man, like Dragić against the Pelicans is just an amazing matchup. You know, our Monster Trends model likes it a lot. And one thing that I'm pretty, and it's not rocket science here, but I included on the Monster Trend sheet is, you know, looking at our target teams. You know, in this case, New Orleans is a target team. You can click right on New Orleans and it'll take you directly to Fantasy 5x5's DVP deep dive for the Pelicans. So it's just a really quick way. If you're looking at the Monster Trend sheet and you're like, okay, I see that this team sucks against point guards, what does it look like on a more, if we zoom in? And if you zoom in to the Pelicans recently against point guards, it's pretty crazy. I mean,
I just, you know, call me crazy, but I just don't think Rajon Rondo is really bringing the defense like he used to, Josh.
No, he's not.
Okay.
He's not.
All right. Yeah. I didn't want to jump to conclusions, you know, but something's telling me maybe his heart's not in it.
No, yeah. I mean, this, yeah. I mean, God bless him. You know, he is just, you know, he's trying, I guess. But this dude gave up a pretty
shitty way to try, Rajon Rondo.
I mean, he gave up, you know, in the last couple of weeks, I mean, he gave up 50 to Jerry and Grant, 42 to Jarrett Jack. Chris Paul just missed 60 against him. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie, 48.
This is a who's who of like the best games of their year. Like a 50 for Jerry and Grant is the best number he's put up all year. Jarrett Jack, 42. That's the best number he's put up all year. Like, you gotta love Georgia. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't want to say he's like a lock, but he's top three favorite plays on the slate just for the fact that, like, you know, I mean, we're shitting on Rondo here and, you know, sorry, Rajon, dude. I mean, what can I say? But the other thing is like Dragić is $6,700, you know, and he flourishes in these high total games. And I know that this isn't like your classic high total, you know, by, you know, West Coast game standards. You know, when we're looking at like the 230 totals, but a 214 total for the Miami Heat is a pretty big total. So by their standards, like they are in a high total game, and he does well in those games. I mean, he's a baller, man. Like he's so consistent. He's just a reliable guy, and he's got a few big games peppered in, you know, recently. So, you know, if there's a spot for him to give you 40 plus, this is it.
Yep, I like that call. I'm into it. You said he's. I don't know. I want to call him a lock. I'm going to call him a lock.
Yeah.
At the shooting guard position, you know, it's deep. Shooting guard is deep tonight, guys. I'm not going to lie. You've got, you know, potentially Donovan Mitchell in a situation with maybe, you know, Rubio, who's questionable. We'll see if that happens. Devin Booker is back, and he's too cheap. Lou Williams has Phoenix. He's too cheap. You know, and then you've got plenty of other guys in and around the rotation. A guy like Josh Hart's playing 30 minutes and he's 4,800. You know, there's just, it's deep. But one guy that I know for a fact that will go overlooked, and DeMar DeRozan is awful close to this too, is Chris Middleton. And Middleton, you know, average ownership over the year has been 13%. Which means that you even have games where he's like, you know, 30, 40% against a team like Phoenix. But most of the time, Chris Middleton goes completely overlooked. This is a top five matchup on the slate against Toronto. He is insanely consistent. I was counting the games where he went because I just couldn't find like the date range. I stopped counting because in 12 of the last 15 games, he's been over 30 points. Like for his price, to constantly be that close to hitting value the consistency is just unbelievable. You're asking him for just over 35. That's a very achievable number for him. The minutes are never below 32. He's consistent. He's been averaging 18-5-3 in the last five games, but he's been averaging on the season 19-5-4. So he's right on target with his average season numbers. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get a few steals. You're going to get a few blocks. You have a competitive game where you can attack the two guard position. So Chris Middleton is an interesting guy to get away from the crowd, but dude, Devin Booker at 7,700 feels like a steal. Am I right?
I love it. I mean, Devin Booker, yeah, especially in his matchup, you know, going against the Clippers. I mean, it definitely feels like a steal. There's a lot of guys in this range that feel really cheap, but he feels incredibly cheap in this spot. I really like Devin Booker for sure. As much as I want to make him the focal point, though, I got to go with Sweet Lou going against Devin Booker. And if you, again, go into the DVP, deep dive. Do you own it?
That's actually a new feature that we're offering is a DVD series by Josh. We're just completely ignore the fact that we can record things on the computer.
And if you want, you can even get the VHS box set. Do you remember like back in the day when you go to like Blockbuster and when you wanted to rent like Titanic, like a really long movie, it was in the two VHS tapes?
Oh my God, I remember Titanic.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Well,
children of the 90s and the early 2000s.
Devin Booker does not remember Titanic because he's 12. And... yeah, he plays defense like a 12-year-old. I mean, you look at these game logs in the DVP dive, and, you know, when he was out for that stretch, you know, and you had Josh Jackson and Troy Daniels kind of manning it at the two, I mean, they were pretty competent in, you know, limiting production to their opposition. You know, a bunch of guys were just falling in this, like, 20 to 35 range, which is not anything to write home about, you know, with the exception of, you know, that dude, Donovan Mitchell with a 59 spot on them. But Donovan Mitchell is like a god among men. So, you know, he doesn't count in this situation here, but they did pretty well at managing things. But in the stretch where Devin Booker was healthy, I mean, he was giving up 46 to Malcolm Brogdon, 28 to Bryn Forbes. You know, Gary Harris almost hit 50. Kent Bazemore almost hit 40. I mean, he gets, you know, crapped on by these just like middling guys. He's out. And then the moment he comes back, Royce O'Neal puts up 36 against him. So, yeah, Devin Booker, like, I love the guy. I love watching him play. He's just such a dynamic player. But at this point in his career, defense is not remotely his forte. And Lou Williams, I mean, I'm super pumped about Monster Trends. I love it. I think it's a really cool model. You know, box creation, you know, is there as well. Still kind of working out some kinks there and seeing how applicable it is. But as a way to measure the ability to create for an individual player, it seems really promising and it's exciting. And I hope that one day there will be like just a website where I can click and sort and look at box creation numbers. But there was a matrix that was posted on Fantasy Labs of just visualizing box creation, you know, the best creators in the league. And I don't know how many people realize, but like he's among the elites in being like just one of the most gifted creators in the league. And that's why he has this insane 60-point upside. So if there is a matchup for Lou to just go nuts, you know, it's got to be against Devin Booker. I mean, come on.
Yep. I mean, I'm always in on Lou Williams. I love bucket getters, and Lou is the king of the bucket getters. He's currently... absolutely playing phenomenally this year. And, you know, you get a guy with a phenomenal offensive rating. You know, he doesn't really play defense either.
No.
So these two guys could just say, hey, let's just trade buckets here. Like Fournier and Hardaway Jr. did tonight. And you could get a nice 40 burger from both of them and see 120 points go up for both teams. So I'm into it. I'm into it for sure. And I'm looking at lineups right now. I was, you know, toying with it. How do we get them both in there? Small forward is thin. Again, as always, of course. But if we want to go back to this game with Miami and New Orleans, and I think we do. It's a decent total. It's going to be a high scoring affair. I think it should be competitive. Both teams are in the mix. I don't mind Josh Richardson at his price at 5,500. I think this is a good price to go to Josh Richardson, and he's going to give you a floor. He's got a nice little ceiling. He's been playing the two. You want to attack the wing here. He's shown a good ceiling in a couple games. He's also shown a pretty bad floor. So you do have kind of some floor games. You hope that the legs are there coming off of the break. It's the best two-guard matchup on the slate. So, and it's above average against the three. So if you get a total for him in this situation, he's got a team total above 105. He's averaged 26 in that split. So I feel like a decent return is very likely. You're going to get a nice bang for your buck. You're going to get a high floor type play from what's his name? Joshy Richardson. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I love Joshy. He always feels safe, and this New Orleans game definitely got to find spots to get in there. And the price is nice, and I like him as well.
Yeah.
And one guy, before I talk about my one guy, before I talk about Mr. Joseph Ingles, Jimmy Buckets, man, like, he's kind of teetering between, stud and grout. The $9,200 salary feels way too cheap. And, you know, he's one of those guys that he's categorized as a small forward. He's categorized as a position that he doesn't actually play in real life. He is the shooting guard for Minnesota. And his matchup, according to Monster Trends, is just insanely good against the Rockets. You know, when you attack the Rockets, you know, you start by looking at shooting guard. So I really like Jimmy. If you can't afford Giannis, make sure you can afford Giannis. But if you can't afford Giannis, you know, he is absolutely a good way to, get some, monster ceiling in there. But this guy, man, Joseph Ingles, man, I just the way that he ended the first two thirds was awesome. Yeah. I mean, just four straight games of exceeding his salary expectation, four straight games of 5x or more, four out of five, five out of six, and a salary bump of $2,000 since the end of January. And look, you know, it sucks when guys' salaries go up. We wish they could be $4,500 forever. But, you know, the reason that he's $6,500, it's not BS. Like, he has been fucking awesome, man. Like, you know, outside of Donnie Mitch, like, he at times is their primary scorer. Like, and he's doing it. And not only is he scoring, but he's accumulating a lot of those, like, hustle stats. You know, he's getting boards. He's getting assists, he's getting a steal, a block here and there. He's doing things, man. And, you know, one of the spots that you can really attack Portland with, he's facing Portland, you know, is with small forwards. Looks like Rubio is, I think he's questionable.
Yeah.
So if he's out, like, I especially like him even more. He and Josh just, they both seem like really safe. I love when you get these like 6K range small forwards that just seem really safe, and they wind up paying off for you with just like a solid 35 whatever point outing. And I feel like these two guys are just a really nice combination if you don't feel like going high to Jimmy or LeBron or Giannis. You know, this duo here, I feel just really comfortable with.
You know, the one guy I want to make sure that we talk about is right there at this Gallo.
Yes.
I mean, 6,300 for a guy like Gallo who loves to score and in a plus matchup will attack the rim with consistency. You know, we've seen him in the last couple games be very consistent. I mean, since he came back and he got that 30-minute mark bump, you know, against Chicago, he hasn't really dropped below, you know, 26 against Brooklyn was not necessarily great. You know, he's had multiple 20-point outings. Like, he is not afraid to shoot, and he's just 6,300. Like, that is a really nice 5X. Like, you can go to a lot of these Clippers here. They're really well-priced, and Gallo is one guy that I was noticing in there as well. So there's plenty of kind of mid-range Clippers that we can get into our lineup. Power forward, Dwight Powell is my guy, and you have another mid-range Clipper. Tobias Harris. So, I mean, we're just talking about all the Clippers, right? I mean, four Clippers, you can have all four, point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward. I think that that makes good sense against the Suns. But my guy, Dwight Powell, 6,700, he's been phenomenally efficient, man. Four of the last five, over 30. And not getting 30 minutes. You know, getting to the rim, scoring over 50%. He's like 8 for 12 from the field, you know, shooting like 60%. Really, really effective. Over 6 rebounds in all of those games. One of those games happened to be against the Lakers. And in 26 minutes, he went out and put up 1.47 fantasy points per minute. We love attacking them at the four. It's definitely a spot that we want to go after on that roster at 6,700. You're paying kind of through the nose for Dwight Powell. But if we get 30 minutes of him in this pace-up situation where he can attack the rim and get plenty of rebounds, I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all.
Yeah, no, I like him a lot. You know, I like that he's, you know, getting his, you know, his due run now. And he's one of the better defensive players in the league. You know, he's a hell of a player. Oh my God, I don't want to like misquote this, but you know, and I was kind of like poking around on Basketball Reference. Somebody was complaining about Kevin Durant being ranked as like the 10th best player in the league. And I posted value of a replacement player, and he's like the 12th. He's 12th in VORP, and it's like, oh, it seems pretty fair. But if you look at like,
is that war?
Yeah, it's like war. Yeah, it's like basketball war, basically.
Okay.
You know? And if you look at like the basketball war on a per 36 minute basis, Dwight Powell is one of the better players in the league. Like, when he gets minutes, he produces, and I like him. I like him a lot, and I think that people see Dwight Powell at 6,700, and they're like, "What the fuck, Dwight Powell at 6,700?" So you can get some ownership there for sure. And you know, you mentioned it too, like I'm sitting here hammering Clippers, you know, and yeah, like there's a few guys around like Derek Favors. I like Derek Favors against Portland. And I like Kuz against Dallas. And you know, I don't mind Taj Gibson against Houston, I guess, but Taj seems to get lost a lot of times. And
he played very poorly in that last Houston game. Totally burned me. I don't really know what to do with that.
Me too. You and I, my friend, definitely. But, you know, Toby over there against Phoenix, you know, he and Gallo, like, I think, like, he and Gallo, they kind of, like, blend together because, you know, it's kind of really hard to figure out, like, who exactly is the small forward? Who exactly is the power forward? Like, it really doesn't matter. I mean, they're your forwards, you know, and, I mean, like, they got him for a reason, and they're giving him, you know, his field goal attempts. They're giving him his shots. They're letting him play, you know, and he is a focal point on that team. You know, but I would venture to say that he's like behind Lou Williams as like the second option on that team. You know, at times he can kind of fall to three, but, you know, all things considered, he's pretty much the second option on that team. And you sure as hell, you know, want to take the second option on whatever team against Phoenix. Seems like a really solid matchup for him to get to 40. Like, he's 7K. So, I mean, we're looking for 35 points. You know, you look at his game logs ever since he joined the Clippers. And he's had a few, you know, really interesting outings that you have to assume, you know, going forward are going to be kind of the norm. You know, 36 against Philadelphia is really impressive. 40 against Boston is really impressive. You know, I don't know what happened there against Brooklyn with 27, but it's not like it was a terrible outing.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, look, like, he's getting the minutes. He's getting decent usage. You know, he's grabbing boards. He's doing all the hustle things. And, like, you know, just like I said, you know, earlier, you know, with Lou, and just like you said with Gallo, like, it's the fucking Suns, man. Like, you got to get shares of the Clippers, yeah. And you know, he's just one of the viable options.
Yeah, it's the fucking Suns. That's where you got to go.
They're the fucking Catalina wine mixer of DFS.
Catalina wine mixer of DFS. So wonderfully true. All right, let's talk about this. The center position, because there is some decent mid-range options if you don't want to go to Cat or AD. I think you can look at, you can definitely look at a guy like Jonas Valanciunas, and he has been ridiculously effective with his fantasy points per minute. You never know when he's going to get the minutes, but when he does, he's really, really effective with them. He's 6,800, which is a pretty pricey because he had some really big games before the break. But, you know, he had 40 last time in this game, and he is capable of going for 40. And this is, like, the best center matchup as far as efficiency plus minus on the slate. And it just – you have to continue to hammer – this spot for Milwaukee until they figure out what the fuck to do with that position. So absolutely into Jonas Valanciunas. Tyler Zeller is going to change things a little bit, I think. But if anything, if they're rolling Tyler Zeller out there, which the Bucks have been rolling Tyler Zeller out there, and we'll know a little bit more if John Henson does go, then you kind of think, you know, okay, this is going to be back to the original Milwaukee Bucks. But Zeller was relatively effective. But again, it didn't stop, like, Jokic from going out there and smashing from a 74-point outing. It didn't stop Dwayne Dedman from hitting value. So you can't really look at the addition of Tyler Zeller as much of a problem for their defense. Remember, Tyler Zeller was the center on Brooklyn before he was the center of Milwaukee. So kind of a lateral move for as far as DVP for our purposes. So Jonas Valanciunas is a guy that I think if you want some savings and you want to pay up somewhere else, he's a guy that, you know, goes a little bit under the radar, and I like him in this spot.
Yeah, no, I like him too. And, you know, Jonas is just he always catches you off guard, you know, and you got to be like ahead of the curve with him. And
yeah.
You know, when you least expect it, he's going to have like 30 points at halftime, and you're going to say, God damn it, why didn't I use Jonas?
So yeah, I knew he could do that.
Exactly. One guy that's in a really good spot, that I think, you know, contrary to public perception, you know, it's a really good spot. I think that a lot of people think that, you know, they see Detroit, they see, you know, the beast, Andre Drummond, they're like, uh-oh, you know, I can't use the opposing center against him. But centers against Detroit, that's a really plus matchup, especially guys who aren't rebound-centric. You know, if the guy that's facing Drummond, you know, primarily relies on rebounds to collect his fantasy points, then you got to think twice about it. But if you have a well-rounded center, then it's, you know, a matchup you really got to look hard at. And I like Al Horford against Detroit. You know, Big Al's dropped below 7K, and I like that price for him. I think he's 6,900, so right below 7K. But yeah, no, you look at these game logs recently, you know, Drummond allowed 40, I don't want to say Drummond allowed, but, you know, Dwayne Dedman put up 47 against them back on the 11th. Jared Allen, you know, who you just referred to, put up 46 against them on the 7th. You know, there's a stretch. I mean, you had Kelly Olynyk had a big game against them. You know, I mean, there were a couple duds, you know, here and there, which is expected, but a lot of these duds were like rebound guys. And Andre Drummond is going to get his 15 to 20 rebounds. But when you have a guy like Al Horford who can do all kinds of things, you know, he can get dimes, he can score, you know, he can get a few blocks and steals here and there. And I think that this is like a really sneaky spot for him. Look, you know, the Celtics, they're losing ground pretty fast in the East. They lost three straight. You know, they're dropping. Other teams are rising. And the bottom line is like, he's a big part of this team. You know, they're, I mean, I know that people like, you know, they see Al Horford as an all-star and they're like, ooh, why was Al Horford an all-star? Like, he's a hell of a player. He's a damn good player. He deserved, you know, his all-star bid as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, he's going to be a big piece for them, you know, in the home stretch and in the playoffs. And, you know, they got to get used to him, you know, just being a nightly focal point and going against this revitalized Pistons team. You know, speaking of teams that are rising, you know, they are in fact rising. You know, he, I think, is going to really have to step up here, and I think he will. You there?
I muted my mic.
I started talking into the ether there.
Al Horford, ladies and gentlemen, he's a good one. It's okay.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. I mute my mic too, and then sometimes I'm talking. And my heart like skips a beat and I'm like, oh shit, was I just talking with my mic muted? And it finally happened, but it was you and not me.
Yeah, it was totally me. All right, let's go over to the bargain basement here.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with the point guard position. 5,500 and below. I don't mind Austin Rivers at 56. I think he's going to be getting plenty of minutes, although we could see Teodosic just going to start at point guard tonight. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Because, yeah, with the injury to Avery Bradley, they pushed Austin Rivers to the two.
Okay.
So who knows? I mean, I think that probably fixes itself tomorrow night. We'll figure out. He probably goes back to point
guard. Yeah, Teodosic will probably end up getting his like 24 minutes or whatever. And
yeah,
nothing really to lose sleep over.
Yeah. You know, Corey Joseph, we know, is going to play the majority of the minutes, the point guard there against Atlanta. That's definitely not a bad matchup. He's not a guy that you're necessarily worried about. You're not thrilled about him, although it was nice to see him come to life in that Brooklyn game for the first time. And maybe, you know, he just kind of found some rhythm there against Brooklyn and was able to, you know, contribute some real life scoring, which was, you know, something that he just had not done. And he actually also got in the defensive box score, which was something that he had been lacking in a couple games before that. So Corey Joseph is fine. One guy that I'm interested in, though, is actually Tyler Johnson, who has been playing alongside Dragic and playing good, you know, number of minutes, upwards of 28 minutes in a lot of these games. At 4,400 against New Orleans in a high total situation, you're really not worried about him hitting value with 28 full minutes. You're asking him for over 20. That's not bad. I feel pretty good about Tyler Johnson getting me over 20 in a plus matchup there against New Orleans. High total at home, full rest. You know, it's all there. And I think that's it. Although I will say there are a number of injuries in Atlanta. You have some Atlanta injuries to be concerned about. So the point guard position there is going to be a little bit more thin. My guess is it'll just be more minutes for Dennis Schroeder, but I do think that they are going to try to get more developmental minutes for what is his name? The rookie from
Dorsey.
Yeah, Dorsey, exactly. From Oregon, right? Did he go to Oregon?
I think so. Like Trump University, I think.
He definitely went to Trump. He doesn't have a degree. It's in the mail. Moving over to the shooting guard, Josh, talk to me, 5,500 below.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we've been hammering Heat guys. What do we say? Do we've been hammering Heat or hammering Heat players? Heat. Did you say we like?
Hammering Heat sounds like a weird way to say like we've been doing cocaine. I'm going to be honest.
You know what? I think we need to like get that into the lexicon somehow.
Like, but this is not the 80s and this is not Miami. So I don't necessarily know, but like, oh yeah. Oh, he was back there in the club hammering the heat.
That fella was hammering some heat. Well, hopefully Wayne Ellington figures out a way to hammer some heat because, you know, if you want to get some cheap shares, I mean, he's going to get a decent amount of minutes and, you know, he'd get hot, you know, shoot or shoot. They like to let him shoot. And, you know, so if you want to get a $3,700 heat to hammer, then go with Wayne. Super uber risky play. You know, it's Eric Gordon. And I just said it, you know, shoot or shoot, you know, and if he gets going versus Minnesota, he could put up 8X. I mean, 4,500, like Eric Gordon has it in him to put up 30 plus. I mean, he hasn't really done dick lately, but, you know, if he gets going, like he could do something big. And I'm not saying for by any stretch, if you're like a one lineup or three lineup kind of guy or gal, you know, think about Eric Gordon. But if you're running, you know, 50 lineups, I mean, get him in a couple percents of your lineup. I mean, you never know. Right. So I'm interested in Eric Gordon a tiny little bit. I'll be monitoring him in this game. You know, other than him and Ellington, maybe like Rodney Hood. I don't know. Like if we think that, like Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson, I mean, maybe, I don't know, but
Josh Hart is interesting just because the minutes.
Yes.
What about Wayne Ellington's favorite?
Tony Snell?
Get out of here. Omar coming. All right. Small forward, 5,500 below. I mentioned Josh Richardson, who's right at 5,500. The other guy at 55 that I really like is Boyan. Boyan against Atlanta. You attack the three against Atlanta. Boyan's been hot lately, been playing very, very well. It seems like the Corey Joseph usage bump has gone to him. You know, been above 20 points. You have a very solid floor there. So Boyan is a guy that I would feel comfortable going to. And in the same breath, I would say Lance. I feel good about Lance. He's one of those bench guys that you actually know will produce, especially if he has a good matchup. And Atlanta is a good matchup. It's just a bad defensive team, so you can attack that. There, Etuan Moore, very cheap. We know the minutes are going to be there. Will the offense be there against a good defense in Miami? I don't know. Royce O'Neal is in play if Rubio sits. And other than that, MKG maybe? 23 minutes of MKG, I don't know. I think I'd actually probably rather go to the opposite side and go to Kelly Oubre. 4,900, he's been playing almost 30 minutes a night. He's got Charlotte. They struggle with the three. Well, at times they've struggled with the three. So I'm not sure. I don't know. What did Jeremy Lamb do tonight? I want to play. There's going to be a Jeremy Lamb night.
Remember the days of yore back in November, December when Jeremy Lamb was like the chalk, man.
He was like the first thing you did in all of your lineups. He was just put Jeremy Lamb in there. Okay, exactly. Now what about the rest of it?
Yeah.
All right, power forward is a dumpster fire, so I'll leave
Thank
that
you,
to
sir.
You, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could maybe, I mean, I don't know, like Jeff Green revenge game against Memphis. Get out of here with that one for sure. I like Marcus Morris against Detroit. I think that, you know, some of the, like if you're buying the Al Horford narrative.
Oh, that's a revenge game.
Oh, yeah, you're
for
right.
Sure.
You're right. Forgot about that. Double revenge game. Just stack Marcus Morris and Jeff Green in 90% of your lineups and say, fuck it. I mean, I legitimately do like Marcus Morris against Detroit. I think that he's a fine play. You know, I've always felt fine with using Ersan. I like Ersan. You know, he's a solid play against Indiana. You know, if he can get some run, you know, he can give you a solid 25 pointer, and he's only 4,800, so that's 5X and then some. But the guy that I'm like really pumped about is Jamichael Green, and reason being is one of the best smash spots of any position all year has been power forwards against Cleveland. You know, for those of you that have, you know, been paying attention, you might have noticed that Chris added at Fantasy 5x5 dud outings. He and I were talking and we were like, big games, awesome. Monster games, awesome. But what about duds? Like, what about games that are in the bottom 10% of a player's range of outcomes? And Cleveland has not given up a single dud outing. Like, no power forwards just have a crappy game against Cleveland. So Jamichael Green, I mean, the Cavs are coming off a back-to-back. I mean, I know it's just after the All-Star break and they're rested, but it's a back-to-back. He can be a stat sheet filler at times. You know, he could score, he can rebound. You know, and you just got to love that matchup and that price. So he's interesting to me. Certainly interesting to me.
Yeah, I think that works. At the center position, it's honestly pretty thin. I don't really love, and it's been this way for a while. Like, we have not seen a lot of good value centers popping up recently. I
mean, the only one that really like seems remotely plausible to me is, well, there's two guys. It's Powell because of the matchup. And Powell is a really good points per minute player. 1.3 fantasy points per minute over the last month. So, you know, if he can get, you know, mid to high 20s, you know, then at 5,700, that, you know, seems to pay off pretty well. And Dwayne Dedmon, you know, if games are competitive, you know, and he gets minutes, you know, he's a rebounding hog, you know, he's a bully in the paint, so he can get going at times. He's kind of like a poor man's Valanciunas in that, like, when you least expect it, Dwayne Dedmon just like blows up the.
Yeah, but he can't score like Valanciunas can.
Yeah, he can rebound and dunk.
Yeah, I guess Gort's hot, but not really against Dwight.
It's like kind of sexy for people to be like, you know, feeling all smart, recommending Tristan Thompson. You know, oh, Tristan Thompson, he's on the Cavs. People know who he is. Like, he dated a Kardashian. He plays 24 minutes. Like, Tristan Thompson. Yeah, but fuck him. Don't use Tristan Thompson. Just for Christ's sake, guys, like 90% of the time. Didn't he date a Kardashian?
Yeah, if the podcast, the DFS podcast that you're listening to recommends Tristan Thompson on the grounds that he dated a Kardashian, I think maybe we switch podcasts. We're not recommending that, for the record.
In all seriousness, like, 9 times out of 10, just pay up for a center.
I'm
not saying pay like 10k, 9k, but like, it's fine. Like, you know, don't get too cute with center.
I love it. All right, let's not get cute. Let's get over to FanDuel.com. Throw together a quick lineup here, Josh. I already have one. You want me to
tell
you what it is? You have one? Oh, this is great. How efficient is this?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know if I love it, though, because I don't really have, like, I guess I don't, we got to wait for more injury news to really find out if it works. But here it is. Goran Dragic, Austin Rivers, Devin Booker, Lou Williams, Gallo, Joshy Rich, Marcus Morris, Dwight Powell, Karl Anthony Towns.
I like that.
I don't really love not having Harden or not having like a guaranteed 60 burger in my lineup, but this feels like a lot of 30s, you know, which, like, okay, a lot of 30s can be good. It's really good if they're all 35s, but I don't know if I'm going to stick with this. Go,
yeah,
what do you got?
I hear you. I got Goran and Tyler Johnson. And then I also have Devin Booker and Lou Williams, Jimmy Buckets and Jingles, Dwight Powell, Jamichael Green, Al Horford. Now, I got to say, you know, I'm super pumped about Jimmy, but I really, really feel like I've got to get some cat in my life because he just, man, like, I don't want to say like it's a guarantee, like 3 in a row, 60 points plus, but
cat,
like, when you put up 60 points 2 times in the season against one particular team, like, and that particular team is like, you have to shoot threes against them. You have to, And he, you know, arguably is like their best 3-point shooter, mm-hmm. you know, like he's going to score baskets. The question is, does he add to his, I mean, I'm pretty confident he's going to score 25 to 30 real points. Like, but is he going to get the boards and et cetera to get you to 55, 60? Not that you need to get 55 or 60, but like, that's what we kind of hope with this trend.
Yeah. So, no, I want 55 or 60, no doubt.
Give me that 55 or 60.
I mean, unless we get injury news, you really don't have a lot of players below 5,500 on this slate that you're super pumped about.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm pumped about Tyler Johnson. I think he's gonna be fine.
Yeah,
and I am interested in Jamichael. I don't know if I'm gonna wind up with him, but I just think that he, you know, given the fact that Cleveland hasn't given up a dud or forced a dud this year,
right?
Like that is a big thing to me. You know, so you at least can feel certain that you're not gonna wind up with like 10 points from him.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
Right on, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I want another piece of value somewhere. But like, I think what I want is I want my value of power forward. That's where I want it. I don't love power forward. I think that's where I would take the value. I'm looking at like Bam Adebayo. Maybe that's an interesting spot, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I like Bam.
Montrezl Harrell is an interesting spot coming off the back-to-back for, you know, DeAndre. He's been really pretty efficient with his minutes, but he's not going to get that many minutes.
Mm-hmm. What about Lonzo Ball against Dallas? What do you think?
That's interesting. I want to see if they give him full minutes because that knee, they seem nervous about that knee. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know what? If you're listening to this and you're not a patron and you want to get into some awesome DFS discussion that goes on all day long,
get
on in and get into the Slack. Everybody's chatting it up all day. It's very valuable conversation. No bullshit. We have a good time in there, but we also, you know, really break it down. So by all means, like join up, have fun with us.
Yeah, man. I'm looking at some of the lineups right now that we're dealing with the guys. I mean, my cash lineup is doing great. It's smoking the big double up right now, from cruising, feeling good. I still have Steph and Lou Williams left to go. But like in our listener contest, I'm in fifth place. Like I'm getting destroyed with like against the guys in from our Slack chat, like Kevin and Ryan and KL, like just absolutely annihilating things tonight. So, you know, and like I'm looking at some of the other guys in here, and you know, KG and Scott still have a ton of lineup left out here, over like 13 quarters left. So we got some players, man. It's always a good time. It's always a good time to get into the Slack chat.
Yeah, it's not just me and you and Spectre, you know, just like, you know, everybody's listening to us as gospel. Like we're learning things from our patrons too.
Well, yeah, because you're seeing unique lineup combinations. You're talking about different ideas. They hear or see things that you miss, you know? So there's a lot there.
Did you use Bogdan by any chance?
I did not. Is he going ham?
Oh yeah, he's going ham, dude. One quarter, three turnovers, negative 3 points.
Oh, killing it. He's so good at threes.
He is. He's so good at threes.
He's negative threes, positive threes.
Yeah, absolutely. He forgot that it's not the break and he's playing DFS golf. So come on, Bogdan.
Oh my God, dude. If golf this weekend is rough.
Yeah.
Rough.
Well, for those of you that are listening, again, I'm like a shameless shill, but our golf Slack channel is in the tits, man.
Oh, I know. It's so fun. I love the guy. I mean, Alex and Mike do such good work. It's always so good.
Yeah. We got soccer people hopefully on the horizon. You know, we got hockey people that are kind of hammering things out. I feel like such an asshole. I forgot his username, but one of our patrons has got like running like models with Corsi percentage and all that stuff. And he's really making me want to get in on the mix. So it's looking good, man. A lot of smart people.
Yeah, it is. Join the community. It's the best value in the game. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. All right, Joshy. Let's get out of here.
All right, Sean. I'll talk to you tomorrow, pal.